Let's just say it's acrimonious, and I will Google it later and find out if I'm using it incorrectly.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern podcast. With an emphatic 4-0 win over Wolfsburg on Saturday, Bayern Munich wrapped up what has been one of the most memorable Bundesliga seasons in recent memory. Robert Lewandowski grabbed his 34th goal of the campaign, while Thomas Müller made the single-season Bundesliga assist record his own with his 21st of the season. I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm here to look back on Bayern's incredible Bundesliga season with my friends, Garrett Kerber.
Hey, hey.
Tim Richards.
Hello there.
And of course, Sebastian Zimmermann.
Hi.
Yeah, so it's kind of been an up and down season, definitely a memorable one, but in many ways also a season of many records. Of course, Robert Lewandowski didn't quite get his 40 goals to tie Gerd Müller, but he did score 34, which puts him just behind Gerd and also makes him the highest scoring non-German player in the Bundesliga, at least in a single season. Thomas Müller broke the single season assist record. Alphonso Davies is now the fastest player to ever play in the Bundesliga. Bayern ended just one goal short of the all-time single-season goal record. It's just a lot of standout statistics when you look at this Bayern season. So, Tim, I'm going to come to you first because I know that your perspective as a Bayern fan has really changed over the course of the season, given that you are definitely one of the biggest Niko Kovac proponents that we know. What stands out to you as most impressive, I guess, about this Bundesliga season for Bayern Munich?
I think probably the amount of goals scored paired with the amount of goals that Lewandowski scored. So I think I had it written down somewhere. I think there were only about seven or eight games in the entire season, not just the league, but in all competitions where he hasn't scored, like when he's played, because obviously he missed a few games. I think it's fantastic, especially considering just kind of like the drop in quality that came after that break. So obviously you've got guys like Serge Gnabry who are in great form, and then all of a sudden, like in the second half, that makes it like all of the games that were played after the break, he just really couldn't seem to make anything happen. I think he might have got like an assist or two maybe, but it was quite a far cry from what he was before. Kingsley Coman, of course, like I've been very critical of his abilities in front of goal for a little while now, but he's kind of done more or less exactly what I would kind of expect Serge Gnabry to do. He became, you know, somewhat more reliable in front of goal. He was able to produce. It's really interesting to see that Bayern have been so prolific while kind of hinging a lot of the attacking output on one player, and specifically Robert Lewandowski. Obviously, the fact that Müller has just kind of gone ham with all of these assists that he's been getting, that's probably the most impressive. That's probably the standout thing, considering a lot of people would certainly write him off. I think everything combined is very impressive. And yeah, okay, I do wish that this season ended with Niko Kovac at the helm, but sometimes you can't have things that you want, and that's just part of life. I'm not going to complain though, like a win's a win, and it's all good. But yeah, everything combined, the fact that it's all been in like such high scoring figures in terms of the amount of goals and the amount of assists, all largely based on one or two people, it kind of gives me a great deal of excitement for incoming transfers. And, you know, let's say if Leroy Sané comes, he's probably going to start scoring a lot more. So it's, you know, it's a great precursor to what could be an even bigger season next year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we're in a very different position than we almost were a year ago. So no disrespect to Niko Kovac, but I think we're on another, you brought the word excitement. I think that's the way a lot of Bayern fans feel right now, is there's this sort of excitement that, you know, this team is the real deal. Obviously, we still have the DFB Pokal final coming up this weekend and the Champions League games to be played later on. But with this Bundesliga season wrapped up, there's just this feeling that, okay, this team, like, this is as good as they could possibly look. You talked about Robert Lewandowski a lot, and I think that that's rightfully so. He deserves so much credit, especially since you know, going into this season and even a little bit before that, a lot of people were talking about maybe it's time to let him go, some of us even included. But he was named the Bundesliga player of the season. And so the question has to be asked, and I'm going to come to you, Sebastian, because I know you're our biggest Lewandowski critic, if you will, and then Garrett maybe can rebuttal. But has Robert Lewandowski even been Bayern's player of the season? I guess, can you make an argument that he's not even the best, or hasn't even been the most important player on his team this season?
Yeah, I think first I want to make this distinction again that we have been talking about a handful of times before. I think one question is, was he the best and was he the most important? I don't think that's necessarily exactly the same thing. I feel like if I would have to choose, I mean, I realize that I'm probably not exactly neutral in this, especially when the other guy who might be an option for the best player for Bayern this season is Thomas Müller. Yeah, and he's absolutely one of my absolute all-time favorites, while Robert Lewandowski is someone I dreaded, whose arrival at Bayern I actually dreaded before it even happened. So yeah, I'm definitely not neutral on this, and I realize that, and I'm happy to confess that. But I still think, Thomas Müller is the other guy here. And at least from my perspective, as flawed as it might be, I think Thomas Müller probably deserves this. I think it's very impressive for someone who wasn't really part of the starting 11 under Kovac, and as someone who's normally not your guy that is the top. Guy on the score sheets, or who's breaking all those stat records. Yeah, finally he did this, because his play is really not he's not the kind of player who would usually get these especially high numbers, because he's the guy who makes an important decision or makes the right move, like the assist to the assist or something like that. That's often Thomas Müller's role, and these things are just not counted. So he's really not your kind of player you would expect to break a record like this. And he did it anyway with this very difficult start to the season. And I think that is just a huge achievement here. And with Robert Lewandowski coming back to this this difference between the best and the most important, I think, yeah, you can't really play much better than Lewandowski has. On the other hand, I think a lot of other players would also have looked pretty good in this system, because the system just worked as well. And I just cannot say this about Thomas Müller. Really, this is not me wanting to take much away from Robert Lewandowski here. But yeah, you just need a very good striker to do very well in this system, I believe. But yeah, putting someone else in there instead of Thomas Müller, that's just going to be a whole different thing. This is going to be very difficult. I really have a hard time coming up with someone you could just plug in there. If there's one name that I could probably think about, Havertz, but even then, I it's not like I would be perfectly sure that this would just flow perfectly. So yeah, Thomas Müller is, I think, more important. But I would be open to saying Robert Lewandowski probably was better or had the better numbers or anything like that. I guess I could come around to that.
Garrett, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think Sebastian is right in suggesting that maybe you could plug in someone else and get at least, you know, something close to what you're getting with Robert Lewandowski? Or do you think that he deserves a little bit more, credit for what he's done?
I mean, I think you have to give him a lot of credit. I don't think Sebastian's necessarily wrong in what he's saying, though. I think that probably as far as the engine that makes this Bayern machine run right now, it's Thomas Müller, and how he's been able to kind of find his stride and under Flick and. I mean, he only started 26 matches in the Bundesliga this season, and he ended up with 21 assists. And so I think as far as why Bayern were as, I don't know if dominant's the word, but why they were so good and pushed themselves into the conversation as the best club in Europe this year. And, you know, we'll see how Champions League turns out. But, you know, people are looking at Bayern as one of the favorites. And I think it's largely due to Thomas Müller being as good as he's been this season. I do think, though, I mean, you could probably plug in somebody other than Lewandowski, you know, to a certain degree, and end up with, you know, 15 goals out of them, and they wouldn't have to be, you know, a fantastic striker. For example, I think that for as excited as we are about Joshua Zirkzee, you know, he was able to score quite a few goals. I say quite a few, but he was, for as little time as he got, he was able to score a few goals, two goals in the, well, is it two or three in the Bundesliga this year? Four. I was off again. But he scored four goals in the Bundesliga in three starts, nine total games. And I think that some of that is because he is going to be a player that we can be excited about. But also, I just think that, you know, to Sebastian's point, the way that the system works and the way that Hansi Flick's put players in positions to be successful, that's really helped. However, 34 goals in 31 matches for Lewandowski has been pretty impressive. To what Tim said earlier, there's been eight matches that he's played in this season and overall campaigns, in all competitions rather, that he didn't score in. And that was, the Super Cup against, Dortmund. And then he didn't score again in, that was in August. And he didn't score again in October 29th against Bochum in the Pokal. I'm pretty sure he came on as a sub in that game. And then he didn't score against Dusseldorf on November 23rd, and then made it 2 weeks in a row without a goal against Leverkusen, then didn't score against Mönchengladbach on the 7th, and then he didn't score against Wolfsburg on the 21st of December, and then against Red Bull in February. Red Bull, sorry. That's incorrect. Leipzig.
We're going to get sued.
Sure. Against Leipzig in February. And then again, he didn't score against Dortmund in May when the season started back up again. And so that's, I mean, I don't care, you know, what system you're playing in, to only not score in eight matches is pretty impressive. And and I think that it'd be hard to take it'd be hard to look at it and say you can't make him the player of the season. I think that there's kind of a methodological discussion to be had there, right? I mean, like, when you say player of the season, do you mean the player that without this guy, you know, things wouldn't have gone the way it did, or is it the guy who has performed at the highest level, the highest? And I think that there's kind of some gray there in terms of, is it Müller, is it Lewandowski? I think Müller has definitely been maybe more important, but Lewandowski's just been on a whole nother level. So I don't think that I'd make a real argument either way. If someone wanted to say Lewandowski, someone wanted to say Müller, I could go along with either one of those. But he's sitting one goal off of 50 in all competitions. So hopefully he can bag number 50 in the DFB Pokal final. I think the other thing that is really exciting is just how Davies has progressed. And I'll let somebody else talk about that because I've talked long enough. But I just think Davies has been, I wouldn't say more important than Müller, but definitely more surprising and made such a huge impact to what this team has become. So again, gotta have our Davies shout out.
Yeah, we'll get to him in a second. I just wanted to add that it's very fitting for Thomas Müller that he manages to break the single season assist record in the Bundesliga, and still somehow we have the feeling that he's being overlooked or that he's not getting the credit that he deserves. I mean, I think it speaks to him a lot as a player because, you know, at the beginning of his career, he was much more a goal scorer than a goal creator. And then now his first touch is incredible. He can make these first touch passes that, you know, you wouldn't expect him to have the vision or even the technique to be able to pull them off, and he's pulling them off like it's nothing. He can cross the ball way better than he used to be able to. He's just really transformed his game, and that's definitely something we've talked about in the past, and it's sort of been trending that direction in the past few seasons. But, I mean, man, he's really taken it to the next level. And then I also wanted to say, I think that the fact that we can have this conversation sort of underlines how important those two are, like, together. Because Thomas Muller and Robert Lewandowski have always both performed on another level when they're paired with one another.
Very true.
Yeah, and when you look at Muller's 21 Bundesliga assists, 8 of them were to Robert Lewandowski. So not quite half, but a very significant amount. And the discussion of who's, you know, best, who's most important, you know, maybe isn't really the right one to be having. I think maybe the correct question is, you know, are we looking at the best attacking duo in Europe? And I think that right now you have to definitely say that we are. But Garrett, you brought up Alphonso Davies, and that sort of gives us a good transition into the next kind of question. Alphonso Davies has been one of the standout players of the Bundesliga season ever since he made his way into the starting lineup. And Tim, I'm going to come to you. Davies has really just taken the league by storm. Like I said, he broke the record for the fastest sprint speed, which surprised absolutely no one, and I still think he's probably going to break it again. But even on top of that, he's just an incredible all-around player. So do you think he's been Bayern's biggest, I guess, revelation this season? Has he really almost, I guess, maybe been the biggest surprise in a positive way of the season?
Yeah, I think the fact that he's the biggest revelation kind of works in tandem with Lucas Hernandez kind of being a revelation of, oh, he was kind of benched for this really young guy. Like, this doesn't, it didn't really make sense. Obviously it does make sense because that's how things work. He's been such a fun player to watch and just generally to support and cheer. I've said like in other places that he is the sort of person that, like, you know, Bayern kind of have that reputation of being almost like the evil boss of the Bundesliga, and it's like, is it really that easy to cheer for them? If you just look at Davies as a whole and you kind of remove him from whatever team he's in, he's just so fun. Like, he's balancing being, I'll say it, world-class left-back with being a very nice person. At least he certainly comes across as being a nice guy. And also being, like, a superstar on TikTok. Like, he's just living every kid's dream. And as somebody that grew up wanting to play for Bayern Munich when I was older, sadly, that moment has long passed. It's just really nice to kind of see that he's doing as well as he is, because it's not even a matter of, like, oh yeah, he's doing quite well. He's doing incredibly well. Like, not even for, like, oh yeah, he's doing quite well for a young guy. He's insanely good. I think the fact that he's been able to, you know, we've said before that he kind of interprets his role as a left back as a defender. Like, his attacking prowess is matched by his ability to recover possession. I think that's fantastic. I saw a quote that he said that it was Niko Kovac's decision to play him in that position in the first game that he did it against Union Berlin. You can read into that what you will. It's just so great to see that he is doing as well as he is and has just catapulted himself into the discussion of, you know, the best left back in the world. I know that I've said that he is a number of times. That's a sword that I will happily die on. But I think if he isn't, then he certainly will become very soon.
Yeah, you brought up Lucas Hernandez, and it makes me think that when you look at Alphonso Davies and the way he's played, to sort of give you some perspective, if you took out his name and then put in Lucas Hernandez there, like, we would still be impressed with how well he's playing. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, even though Davies was brought in for, you know, 10, 15 million euros, whatever it was, those expectations are low and he's exceeded them, obviously. But even if it was Lucas Hernandez who had that 80 million euro price tag and who were really expecting to have a great season, if he was putting up these sort of numbers, there wouldn't be any sort of, yeah, that's what we expect. It would be more like, okay, that's incredible. And so it speaks even further to Davies that he's not only performing well because we had low expectations, he's performing well. He's a world-class left back, like you said. Now, obviously, Davies was one of the big sort of wow moments for Bayern fans this season, but there have been a lot of other what I would just consider kind of surprises, revelations of the season under Hansi Flick, who was, you know, has been a revelation of his own. Sebastian, what are some other, I guess, big surprises, big, I guess, components that you've seen under Hansi Flick that helped turn this Bundesliga season around?
Yeah, I think you mentioned the most important one already. Flick himself, for me, is either the second or even the most important revelation we have seen, because we all remember how we were talking about how it's extremely difficult to find the right Bayern coach at this time. How we were thinking maybe Ten Hag can do it, but if not Ten Hag, we are probably in for, let's say, interesting times with a lot of changes maybe and a lot of disappointment. And then Hansi Flick just basically came around the corner and he was just there, and in a matter of weeks, basically, he did everything so well that we all kind of forgot that Erik ten Hag had been such a big topic, and that we were really kind of concerned about what was going to happen in terms of managers or head coaches or whatever you want to call it at Bayern. So Flick definitely is the biggest one there for me. I think if I had to name another player for me, that's probably David Alaba. Maybe we should have known better by now. Maybe we should have known that there is not really a spot on the field where David Alaba is not going to feel at home, maybe apart from the goal. But yeah, it's still kind of surprising how he wasn't only like a serviceable or good center back, but he was has been a very good center back and even the boss of this defense. And yeah, that still was surprising to me, even though we should probably have been able to guess that he would be good at this position. I mean, he brings everything you want to most positions, really. He's quick. He is not exactly very tall, but he can jump enough, and he just is usually in the right position and makes up for that that way. Yeah, he just has the eye for the other players. Yeah. He's just, I think we talked about that. He's just the guy, if you would have to field 11 players and they're all the same player, you would probably go for David Alaba. So, yeah, still a big revelation in my eyes.
So talking about those kind of versatile players that, you know, if you had to field 11 of them and be okay, David Alaba is definitely one of them. And I think this sort of goes hand in hand because we've seen a lot of, I guess, position changes happen this season, or at least a lot of players not playing where we would expected them to at the beginning of the season. And so I want to talk about Joshua Kimmich, because he's obviously now Bayern's like rock in midfield. He's not going anywhere. And at the beginning of the season, I would have been very much against that. I was one of his biggest proponents for keeping him at right back. And I definitely didn't want to see Benjamin Pavard playing right back. And throughout the course of the season, both of them have just proven me wrong. I mean, I definitely wouldn't take Joshua Kimmich out of midfield for anything. He needs to be playing defensive midfield. That is absolutely where he's the most effective. And Benjamin Pavard has been incredibly solid and sometimes just incredible, you know, full stop at right back this season. And so both of them, I think, have also, not that Kimmich is necessarily a revelation because we've always known what he can do, but I think he managed to switch positions from being the world's best right back into midfield and somehow elevate his game and elevate his status even further, which speaks to him as a player massively. And then Pavard, you know, being solid at right back to the point where if we head into the next season without another option there, I would be okay. Speaks a lot to him as a player as well, someone who is probably naturally what we would consider a center back. So, Garrett, I don't know if you have anything or anyone you want to add to that conversation.
No, I think Sebastian actually took both of mine, and so I'll just echo him and say, you know, the fact that, you know, Bayern were able to find a coach that was already on staff to fill this role of manager, and not in a way that made it feel like you'd have to make sweeping changes, you know, and give them a whole nother year to fit in. The job that Flick has done with this squad, putting players in the best position that they can be in to succeed, not only as individuals but as team. That to me has been so nice. And then not to say, you know, to make sure that I'm not having Tim over there worrying that I'm going to bash on his guy. But you know, all of us really were totally on board with, if Kovac was the guy that they were going to stick with, then, you know, stick with him, give him the tools he needs to be the coach he wants to be. But it just felt like a situation where something wasn't right, and I couldn't really put my finger on what was wrong, but just something wasn't right. And now to see the difference, especially in players like Mueller, you know, and just how Bayern are a joy to watch again, that's been a real, real positive. And then on Alaba, I think his ability to be not just a solid center back, but a really good center back has been, I think, one of the major reasons that Alphonso Davies has been as good as he has been, because it's allowed Davies to be a little bit more aggressive, to play a little bit more loose, because he knows that David Alaba is right back there and taking care of things and probably giving him, you know, help on where he needs to be positionally. I just think that he's been amazing, and he's one of the players, you know, that we're still waiting on to see if he's going to get an extension. And it'd be really hard for me if for some reason they don't get something worked out with him, because I think he's just so valuable, as you guys said, in any spot that he plays. So really good to see how he's done this year.
Yeah, I mean, not only that, him being an academy graduate, he's definitely got to sign that contract. It would be extremely disappointing to see him leave over the summer. And since we're talking about disappointments, and if the potential of David Alaba leaving, we just talked about our biggest revelation. So maybe, Tim, what was the biggest disappointment for you so far this season? Not that it's really been a disappointing season, it has been overwhelmingly positive, I would say, but there are a few things that maybe you could bring up. So what has been most disappointing for you about this season, Tim?
The biggest disappointment for me personally, without wishing to sound like a broken record every episode, the fact that Kovac got sacked, well, he didn't get sacked, of course, he left. I think seeing what this team is capable of, that whole argument of, you know, you can't go 200 miles an hour or kilometers an hour in a 100, whatever, you know the thing? That whole argument, if the players were capable of doing it, why weren't they doing it? Like, if they could run faster, why weren't they running faster? If they could make those passes now, why couldn't they do it before? There's this whole thing that kind of really does seem to come up quite frequently for me, is where I realize that there's a set group of players that seem to dictate just what happens in the club. I think last year you had guys like Mats Hummels. I think Sandro Wagner was like a reasonably influential person when he was there. And also guys like Thomas Müller. I love Thomas Müller, but there just seems to be this ability that if they don't like something, it will change, which is a huge shame, because it means that whoever the manager is kind of doesn't really have the easiest job in the world. But at the same time, you know, if Müller was capable of doing this, then maybe Kovac should have played him more frequently, and then there wouldn't be this problem. Like, it's very much like a double-edged sword. It's the second time I've mentioned sword today. I don't really know what's going on. Yeah, I think the fact that for me personally, the biggest disappointment was seeing Kovac go in kind of a acrimonious. Is that the word? Let's just say it's acrimonious, and I will Google it later and find out if I'm using it incorrectly. The departure of Niko Kovac for me personally was very disappointing, and also the manner of which it happened.
But at the same time, I think you can make the argument that it was one of the best things to happen this season. And I get where you're coming from, and obviously it's nothing new that there is a group of players in the Bayern, I guess, squad that dictates a lot of what happens. I think anyone with any sense knows that. It's been that way for a while. But they got Carlo Ancelotti out, they got Niko Kovac out, and the season really turned around, so it's kind of hard to blame them too much. Mm. But yeah, no, I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, like it worked out for the best.
Right.
But I just wouldn't... It's a shame, and having Googled it, I think acrimonious is maybe the word that I was looking for.
Perfect. Beyond Niko Kovac being sacked, I think one player kind of stands out to me that we maybe could label a disappointment without it. Well, actually, no, there's a few that we could label disappointment. So, Garrett, Sebastian, I don't know if either of you have a different route you want to take with this conversation as maybe the biggest disappointment of the season.
For me, I just real briefly, I don't really have too many major disappointments. My main disappointment is just not having seen Lars Lucas Mai play. To be honest, that's a really, really not big disappointment, but it's just, he was on the bench for so many matches, and to see Chris Richards get his Bundesliga debut, which was awesome, but to see that happen before we saw my play was kind of disappointing to me, because we've been calling for him to get some time for 2 years now, and to just not see him, that's just kind of a disappointment. That's the only real major one. I'll let you guys cover the real important ones.
For me, there's kind of this pattern that we have. We have three players on the squad. They are all French. They all were big signings, basically. They all are injured too often. When they come back, they are looking good a couple of times. Then they're looking okay a couple of times. And at some point they get injured again, and yeah, this is a pattern. Obviously, we cannot like too much, and I guess I would like a bit of change on that front. And that has really been disappointing. That none of those three really, had a season where you would say, okay, now they really arrived here. Now they really have that spot on the starting 11 or anything like that, which is Corentin Tolisso. Obviously, then obviously Lucas Hernandez, and also obviously Kingsley Coman. Yeah, I guess that's those are the most disappointing players from my perspective, if we want to keep it to players at this point.
Yeah, and I think any Bayern fan would agree with you there that the injuries are very disappointing, but also the fact that those guys can't get into form. Corentin Tolisso's future is completely up in the air. Which is very disappointing. We've talked about before. Kingsley Coman has had some good games, but with Leroy Sané hopefully coming in this summer, we don't know what's going to happen with him. And then Lucas Hernandez, we talked about him the past few episodes. 80 million euros for a guy who's not even starting when he is fit. Obviously, he did spend a lot of the season injured, but you have to just say it, call it like it is. It's a bit disappointing. I'm a little surprised none of y'all mentioned Felipe Coutinho, who we haven't seen in a long, long time. But obviously he came in on loan, but Bayern are paying him some pretty big wages. And after the whole Leroy Sané getting injured last summer, we pulling in Coutinho at the last minute. Do you think he's been a bit disappointing, or about what you expected out of him this season?
For me, I would say it's kind of what I expected out of him. I mean, he was pretty decent in the games that he played. I mean, there was a lot of moments where we were wanting more. It seemed like he was trying too hard to do everything himself and that sort of thing. But like, he was still a decent player, a good player. I think the disappointment comes with the price tag that's attached to him. And that's not really Bayern's fault so much as it is Barcelona's fault. And so it's hard for me to call him a disappointment, because when they got him on loan, it felt like a desperation move anyway, that didn't really seem like it was a fit. It's not that I've been thrilled with his performances by any means, but I think that my expectations for him were pretty low when he came on loan, and he didn't really do enough to sway me either way, to be honest.
Well, we'll go ahead and move on for the sake of time. One final question, looking back at this Bundesliga season, what has been your favorite moment? And Tim, I'll give you some time to think this one over this time. So, Sebastian, I'm going to come to you first. What has been your favorite moment of the Bundesliga season?
Yeah, that one is really tough. I thought about this a little bit, but I couldn't really come up with this one moment. I guess the problem here is that the season is so, it is so, it's not one block. It's not like, it feels like it's so many different parts. Mm-hmm. So first there is the Kovac phase. Then there is the Corona situation, obviously. So this just falls apart in a number of ways. And also there are just so many games where Bayern was really extremely strong. Very, very brilliant games, you can say. But none of them was very, very important on its own, really, because the big Champions League games are hopefully still to come. So also none of those was really overly important or anything. None really stands out for me. Yeah, so for me, it's still really a tough call, and I cannot really come up with this one big moment as you usually have in normal seasons. In normal seasons, it's usually pretty easy to name one or two or maybe three. But yeah, for me, nothing really stands out like that. There's not one thing that I could name, or even like three things that I could name that really, yeah, stand out from all the others. So yeah, I have to pass here, I fear.
Well, I think I can kind of narrow it down to one game. As my favorite, probably my favorite moment of the season. And that's the first Bundesliga match of the season against Borussia Dortmund. Because this was, I believe, Hansi Flick's second game in charge. So Niko Kovac quit after losing to Eintracht Frankfurt 5-1. Bayern beat Olympiakos under Hansi Flick. And then we head into this Dortmund game. And everyone's sort of like, oh, we've got this new coach. Not sure. You know, we were sort of anticipating something good because we'd heard a lot about Hansi Flick, but at the same time, we were going in with this makeshift back line where, you know, we're playing David Alaba at center back. Javier Martinez is going to play center back. Pavard at right back. Davies at left back. And this is, you know, before Alphonso Davies had been tested in any sort of manner at all. And he just goes in and completely shuts down Jadon Sancho. Bayern get the big 4-0 win. And it just kind of sort of started the hype of Hansi Flick, you know, maybe he's the real deal. Maybe Bayern can be the team that so many expect them to be for the rest of the season. And so for me, that really stands out as my favorite memory, my favorite moment of the season, just sort of the beginning of the transformation, I guess what I would call it, from Bayern Munich, from, you know, this, what we saw at the beginning of the season to what we saw in the second half of the season. So that's it for me. Tim, Garrett, y'all have a different favorite moment, or maybe yours is the same?
I think that's actually a really good one that I didn't quite. I was trying to think. I was like, when was it that I really felt like there's no question that Hansi Flick is the guy to carry Bayern forward, and that probably should have been it if it wasn't. But a few other games that kind of stood out, and obviously the 7-2 beating of Spurs was huge. Just because, number one, it was kind of the last big win for Niko Kovac. Just the way that game kind of played out, because Spurs actually scored first, and then Bayern scored four, and then Spurs get another one, and it's like, okay, this is a big win for Bayern, but you know, it's 4-2, not a horrible score. And then they just laid some more on them, and four goals for Serge Gnabry. That was a really iconic game from that standpoint. The other one would be the other Champions League match against a London team, the one against Chelsea, the first leg of the round of 16, how, you know, it was kind of back and forth for the first half, and then Bayern just pretty well dominated in the second half, which was really cool for them to go to Stamford Bridge and put in such a good performance. But then actually it's kind of a mix of my favorite moments, but like if you take the way that it ended out, the match against Hoffenheim this February, this past February, it was on actually the 29th of February. So maybe we should have known it was going to be weird, but you know, Bayern score 2 minutes into the game, and then 7, and then 15, and they just kept putting on goal after goal, and then halftime comes and they score right out of halftime, and it was just piling on, and then obviously it got all thrown off with all the protests,
yeah,
and stuff that happened. But prior to that point, Bayern had 25 total shots, and Bayern had, you know, 6 goals, and it's just one of those things where that's kind of a big, you know, what would that scoreline have been had they played a full 90 rather than, you know, spending the last, what was it, you know, 20 minutes or so just kicking the ball back and forth in the middle of the field because of the protesting and all that. That was a game where it really was clear. If it wasn't clear after the Dortmund match with Hansi Flick, it was clear now that this Bayern team, he had them clicking, he had them, you know, finely tuned, and so that match was a lot of fun. And it's a shame that it had to end kind of early because of all the stuff around it.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that game and the whole situation involved. I think part of that's just because of how incredibly long this season has been. Tim, do you have anything to add to that conversation, the favorite moment of the season?
Yeah, it's kind of the exact same as Garrett. That Hoffenheim game was very unusual. I kind of forgot about it, and then look back, I'm like, yeah, that was a weird thing that happened. Like the particular moment that really stands out for me from that was Alaba going over to the fans, because like, yeah, he, for the last couple of seasons, he's been fine, but I had kind of thought maybe he kind of peaked like 5 years ago. Like he hadn't really seemed to reach that sort of height again. But seeing him play as a centre back is fantastic, and seeing him kind of take on this leadership role, like looking over Davies and being like this great organizer of the back line, and then seeing him take on that role of like the leader of the team, like this brand ambassador, and going over to the fans to say, stop doing this, like if you do this then we lose, like this isn't helpful. It was so great seeing that, and that's kind of the moment where I thought maybe he was just having a bad spell, like this is a guy that loves the club, which is why I really, really hope that he stays for longer and does sign an extension. In terms of like just general moments, I think any time Bayern travel to London and just dominate the place, because I grew up with Chelsea fans. I went to school with Chelsea fans. I went to school with Tottenham fans. It's just nice. It's just really nice to see Bayern not only win, but just win really convincingly. And this whole argument of like, oh, the Bundesliga is a farmer's league, like Lewandowski wouldn't be able to do it in the Premiership. I think he probably could. Like, if I was to hazard a guess, I think he'd maybe do all right. The Chelsea game in particular, obviously the 7-2 at Spurs Stadium, that was bizarre and very enjoyable. The game at Stamford Bridge, though, oh boy, yes, please. I could watch that all day long, because I can't stand Chelsea. And any Chelsea loss is a good day for me. The fact that a Chelsea loss comes against Bayern, even better.
Yeah, that's definitely one of my favorite moments as well. But I understand completely where you're coming from with, you know, living in London and being so close to the situation. Yeah, I bet that's pretty enjoyable to go to your friends afterward and, you know, just maybe look a little bit smug when you talk to them.
Because I went back and looked just to make sure I wasn't forgetting anything from that Hoffenheim match. Lewandowski was hurt for that match.
Right.
So like, on top of the fact that they scored 6 goals, their top scorer didn't even play. So that's just adding to the craziness of that match. So I'm going to have to go find that match and rewatch it, I guess.
At least the first, 70-something minutes of
yeah.
it.
Until, yeah.
Well, before we wrap up, we have a very important game coming up this Saturday, the DFB Pokal Final, in which Bayern Munich will be playing against Bayer Leverkusen. Interestingly, Leverkusen have won 2 of the last 3 matches against Bayern, even if one of those wins was incredibly undeserved. Kai Havertz did not start this past weekend, and he also hasn't started the last 2 games against Bayern. So if he doesn't start this one, well, there's going to be some questionable things going on for sure. But based on Bayern's current form, they've been a bit shaky, I would say, in the last few weeks, at least up until this recent game. Should they be worried going into this match? And then also, are we going to see any changes to the starting 11, or do we expect the typical Joshua Kimmich, Leon Goretzka in midfield, Coman and Gnabry on the wings, Müller, Lewandowski up top, you know, basically what we've been seeing? Or maybe, you know, do Thiago, Lucas Hernandez, Ivan Perisic make their way into the starting 11? So those are just the 2 questions, and I'll come to you first, Sebastian.
First, the easy one, I think, should we be concerned? No, not more than usual. I mean, this is DFB Pokal, so we all know the old saying. I'm not going to repeat it. So anything can happen there, basically. So I think we should definitely take this seriously. This is not an easy opponent. This is DFB Pokal, so we definitely need to be on guard, basically. But I'm not any more concerned than I would be against any other team. Turning to the lineup now, I think if I want to see a change, maybe I would like to see Kissons, because he looked really good in the last game. Maybe has deserved to start in an important game. Maybe, but I'm not quite sure how to do this perfectly. Serge Gnabry hasn't looked brilliant in the last couple of games, so. This is the question. Is it possible to basically put Müller on the right and make them switch enough so it still works? Maybe that's an option. Maybe I would like to see that. I'm on the fence on this, basically. I'm not perfectly sure if I think that's a great idea. But yeah, I think Kissons, at least in theory, might deserve a shot here. Other than that, I think I would go with the complete standard on defense. And I would also go with Müller and Lewandowski and Coman, because Coman has looked pretty good for over the last couple of weeks, especially by the standards of earlier this season. Then obviously I would play Kimmich. I think, yeah, that's completely out of the question. And this just leaves us with the question, if Kissons is not playing on the 6, and if he's playing, this leaves us with the question, if it's going to be Goretzka or Thiago. I think it's still not clear if Thiago is really going to be able to start. If he is, it's completely a toss-up. I'm fine either way. If he's able to play, fine. If he's not able to play, I'm also perfectly fine with starting Goretzka. I think right now it's looking like he's at least not going to be able to be at 100%. So if Thiago is not at 100%, I'm going to go with Goretzka, or maybe Kissons if we decide to have him there. As I said, I would really like to see some of him in that game. Yeah, but other than that, no changes. Well, I don't expect them, and I don't want them.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Kissons, because we haven't given him a shout-out yet, and his goal this past weekend was absolutely incredible. And yeah, he's looked really, really good over the last few weeks. So I do think he deserves a mention. I don't quite think he's going to be starting in such an important game, but it is looking like he could be an important player for the team heading into the future. So that's at least something to be excited about. And if, you know, an injury crisis hits, at least we know we can rely on him. But Garrett, Tim, very quickly, would either of you make the argument that a change to the basic starting 11 that we've been seeing needs to happen? Or do you think that it's a pretty straightforward choice for Hansi Flick heading into the game?
Seems pretty straightforward to me. And actually made me think of, just real quick, just that, you know, Jerome Boateng's kind of renaissance is kind of has been like a nice surprise on this season too. But I would just, you know, keep it simple, keep with what has worked. I'd like to continue to see Serge Gnabry play to see if we can get him to kind of work out of this mini slump that he's kind of in. He's been pretty, he hasn't been bad. You just haven't really noticed him on the pitch. So if maybe the Pokal can shake it out of him just in time for another month off before Champions League. But yeah, I think I just keep it simple and keep with what has been working really well. I think if Thiago is healthy, I think you consider bringing him on for Goretzka or someone, you know, maybe earlier than you would have earlier in a normal situation, just to kind of keep guys somewhat fresh for or at least get him back into some sort of game shape, I guess is what I'm saying. But yeah, I don't know that there's any reason, which is so weird considering how we started this season. And that was one of the main concerns, is we didn't feel like we had a real solid starting 11 that we could rely on. But here we are. And yeah, I would just keep with what's been working.
Yeah, it would be nice to see Gnabry get a goal or maybe an assist. But I also sort of have the feeling maybe he's saving them for his upcoming trip to London. So, and if that's the case, then, well, that's absolutely fine for me. But that's all the time that we have for this one. If you've enjoyed listening, or if you're a regular fan of the pod, please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review. We would greatly appreciate that. If you want to get in touch with us, there are two ways you can do that. You can follow us on Twitter, @SuperBayernPod, and tweet at us there, send us a DM. We would love to hear from you guys. Or you can email us at superbayernpod@gmail.com. We love all sorts of feedback. All of our podcasts can be found on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. We're going to be there. Thank you for listening. Go out and tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.